everyone. Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good, everybody in the U.S. Happy Turkey Day. We're recording this a day early, but we'll put it out tomorrow morning.
Awesome. Someone that's on their way to Grandma's house, if they are going to Grandma's house, can listen to the show while they're on the road or, you know, in transit or after the football game or something. So anyway, everybody.
We have to watch the Lions lose on Thanksgiving. It's a tradition.
Yeah. I didn't know they still played on Thanksgiving, but it used to be the Detroit and Dallas game, but I don't think it's that anymore.
No, who knows this year what's going on. But
so everyone, welcome and hope you're all staying safe and doing well. We've got some news for you, best practice. We've got some stuff going on here. Blueberry, and we got an interview with Jennifer Fink from Fading Memories podcast. And we got a kind of complicated question of the week. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit. Road is really putting the gauntlet down.
They're selling a kit now for vloggers, which, you know, a lot of people are doing, you know, vlogs on YouTube and whatnot. And they've got this little kit here. It's pretty cool. It comes with an external microphone and all the stuff you need to add to your phone to just do vlogging with your phone. But it's a really neat little kit. Goes for $150. I thought it was pretty interesting anyway. You know, I've never really gotten into vlogging, but it might be fun.
Neither have I. I've tried vlogging, but I have a face for radio or a face for podcasting or something to that effect, I guess. Right. But yeah, I was looking at it here on the screen and it really doesn't match what people are using today for light screens and stuff. But, you know, it's a kit.
It'll get you going. You know, That's the thing. You know, I've got a lot of those that I watch on YouTube and some of those guys' setups are just incredible, you know. So this would be for the casual vlogger, I would think. You know, like a podcaster, you know, that just does a little podcast on their own and stuff. This could be just an additional thing that you do.
So People Magazine is launching a daily podcast. So they're the latest publisher to jump into the fray.
Yeah, so far I don't think they've been doing any podcasting. So one of their senior people that have been around a while, one of the editors, is going to do a daily.
Wow.
So taking a big step in there. And so, you know, it'll be all celebrity news and all that kind of stuff if you're into that. But yeah, just thought it was interesting that they were getting into it.
So Volvo, they spent, I think, about $3 million in advertising in the podcasting space in October. Did anybody get any of that money? Where did that money go? I didn't even hear, you know, that's amazing, is didn't even hear a single Volvo ad on any podcast that I listened to. So I wonder where that money was spent.
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, I was kind of surprised. This was Inside Radio that they were the number one in October. And I was like, wow, that's just nuts. Because, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I never heard anything about Volvo.
Right. So
I heard plenty about stamps.com and all the, you know, usual suspects, but nothing about Volvo.
You know, Ford used to advertise on podcasts, but they haven't in a long time. So maybe this will be a re-genesis moment to get the automobile manufacturers advertising in podcast again. So good on Volvo for spending some money. I like it.
Yeah, certainly. Like I said, the more the merrier, especially, you know, these big brands. It'd be great to get some more of that money flowing to podcasters. Problem is, I think it goes to a lot of the bigger shows and doesn't really filter down to us mere mortals.
That's right. So Podcast Movement, Home for the Holidays meetup on December 9th, a virtual meetup. So I guess we're going to have a little get together.
Yeah, you know, those things are mildly interesting to me. You know, we've been kind of zoomed out here of late. You know, this whole year has just been everything virtual. And I don't know how exciting that is anymore to people.
Well, hopefully with the vaccine around the corner, maybe sometime mid next year, we get back to normal, get back to shaking hands and meeting people.
Certainly. Yeah, I've gone to a few of the Podcast Movement in-person meetups they have around the country and, you know, just happen to be in the right place at the right time. And they're pretty cool. But, you know, virtual's good. You know, during the actual Podcast Movement, that little social area they had there was kind of slick how that worked, you know, when they had, you know, a bunch of people in there. But a lot of times you didn't get a lot of people in there. So go check it out. It is cool. And it's free.
Our best practice is talking about improving your recording environment. And, you know, what, Mike, I know that before you moved into your new space, you had your hand on the mute button a lot because you had a sump pump in your basement where you were at.
You know, then the creaky floor upstairs. So, you know, if the wife or the dogs were walking around, you know, it was creaking. You know, getting your space, it's not, you know, you don't have to do anything super fancy like what I've done in here. And I still need a little more echo control in here. It still bounces around a bit, but it's a lot of things you can do to set up your space. The thing is, you know, a lot of people don't have a dedicated space. And right. So they have to, you know, improvise. And I think one of the more famous ones I always thought was great was Mignon Fogarty from whatever her show is of
Quick
and Dirty Tips. And yeah, Grammar Girl. She famously goes into her coat closet.
Yep.
And it's what a great place. But there's just a lot of things you can do to make it better, regardless of where you're at. One of the big things is make sure whatever's making noise, if it can be turned off, turn it off.
Yep. Whenever I was in hotel rooms, it was always air conditioning units that I have to shut off. And when you're doing an hour and 10 minute show and it's 105 degrees outside in the shade, by the time that 65 or 70 minutes was at, I was usually ready to melt and get the AC unit back on. But, you know, same thing with computers. Computers make a lot of noise, especially if you have an underpowered computer and you're putting a big load on it. It'll be right in the middle of you recording your show, and it's going to drive you crazy.
I always say, you know, make sure that whatever direction your mic is facing, it's away from the computer.
Yeah.
If you have one running, you know, and if you have a bunch of extra computers running in the space, or there's just 100 things that can make noise, you know, AC units, fans, of course, sump pumps. Of course, if I ever turned off that sump pump down there, I'd be in 2 inches of water by the end of the show.
Yeah. Another thing, too, is big monitors will reflect back on you as well. So, you know, sit back from that monitor as much as you can. Of course, I've always found the best, absolute best thing, just as a starter, is if you have bare floors, a throw rug. It doesn't have to be a full-on carpet. It can just be a 8x8 or 10x10 square in your room, and that's going to help a lot. Curtains, those are always good. Of course, here, the studio has been professionally audio conditioned, and that's the word they use. And of course, I use a company called Audimute.com. Kevin over there will give you a great deal. And basically, you can get your sound conditioning
panels
printed to the color you want. You can get them so they're not going to look, you know, black or whatever it may be, and having a significant other or not have a stylish room. So you can get sound conditioning panels now that have patterns or colors or whatever you want on them. You can even come up with the design.
Yeah, you know, if you have your favorite picture you want blown up, make it look like art on the wall. It's really slick what they do. And, you know, they're not the only company that does it, but
yeah.
And I talked to Kevin about this place, and at some point, I'm probably going to pull the trigger on it.
It's not necessarily inexpensive to do a room either.
No.
But audio blankets are another thing, and that's something that Audimute also sells. You know, just basically, sometimes they hang them on a rack, but audio blankets seem to work well. So you can take them up, take them down. You don't have to keep them up the entire time when you're not recording.
I've seen these little foam booth things that you can set up on your desk. The problem with that is that usually the microphone's facing away from that. Right? And also, you know, if you need to look at a computer while you're doing it, you're still having to look over it. I don't particularly care for that. It's better to have stuff behind you or beside you or above and below. You know, like in here, I have audio panels on the ceiling. And then I have carpet on the floor, and then I have some audio panels on either side. I haven't put anything directly behind me yet. That's the next thing I need to do.
One thing I found interesting, and it's maybe not completely related here, but people are starting to use teleprompters, but not for a traditional purpose. Some of these teleprompters now, if you're doing live like you and I are, Mike, I could put your face on the teleprompter and see you versus having a separate monitor somewhere. So that's something that's being done by podcasters now so that they can look at the camera and still see their guest, which I think is kind of smart because usually if we're on a Zoom call or something, you're looking down at the computer versus looking up at the camera,
right?
Especially if you're doing live. So anyway, that wraps up our best practice, but here's the main thing. Let your significant other know when you're recording and try to be quiet or go somewhere else for that time. And same thing with trying to keep the kids under control. I ran into that for many years. And that's why I recorded really at the time I did, because my kids were in bed. I waited till they went to bed before I recorded.
Yeah, and make sure the dogs are happy if you have dogs. Yeah,
that's right. So let's move into Blueberry News. Hey, be sure to check out our Instagram account on Friday. We're giving something away.
Yeah, we picked that out this morning, actually. So you'll be very happy, but you got to go to Instagram and watch for it.
It's at Instagram.com/blueberry_podcasting. We'll have the link in the show notes, of course. So again, be sure to look at our Instagram on Friday. Again, you might win something if you play along. I don't know. Are they going to require them to like it or?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sydney's got something planned. So.
Okay, awesome. So definitely go over there and keep an eye out Friday. I don't know what time it's going to post, but I'm sure if you integrate or not integrate, but
follow or whatever it's called on Instagram.
On that day, I'm sure you're going to be good. So we're also off Thursday and Friday. We take Thanksgiving and Black Friday off, and we'll be monitoring support emails over the weekend, making sure things are staying online. So if you don't have a dire emergency, you may not get a response to Monday. But if it's something that is critical, we're usually pretty good about responding, even on Thanksgiving Day. Mike and I will typically be poking around there a little bit, watching what's coming in.
Yeah, making sure, you know, something didn't melt down, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yep. Well, a certain company right now is melted down. We've been watching one company that's offline currently, yeah. So they're having a bad day. Don't wish that on anybody because it could be us next.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, you really want to make fun of them, but we're not.
You can't. No. You feel bad for them. So we're still looking for Blueberry Podcasters of the Month. If you want to be considered to be the Podcaster of the Month, contact Mackenzie if you're interested, mackenzie@blueberry.com, because we're starting to work on our 2021 list, And then you can be on the show. So if you don't volunteer and say, hey, I would be a good candidate, I'm going to pick them. Or Mackenzie's going to pick one.
Right.
And that probably is what we do half the time anyway, but definitely let us know if you're interested in being considered.
Throw your hat in the ring for sure.
Yeah. So next up, we've got an interview with Jennifer Fink. She's got the Fading Memories podcast, and this is about Alzheimer's and caregivers for Alzheimer's. So very interesting interview. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it here. So here I am with Jennifer in her interview. We'll be back with some questions the week after this. Hey, everyone. I welcome Jennifer Fink to Podcast Insider. And Jennifer does the Fading Memories podcast. And Jennifer, welcome to Podcast Insider. Why don't you give the audience just a little 411 about you?
Well, I am a mostly retired photographer at this point. I used to do portrait photography. I have done that long enough. And I have lived through the last recession and then this year, 2020, with the pandemic. And there's been some life changes going on with me. I just decided it was just time to focus 100% on the podcast. And that's what we're doing.
Awesome. So your podcast is Fading Memories. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the show?
Fading Memories is an Alzheimer's caregiver support podcast where we provide information, inspiration, and hopefully a few laughs through conversations with other caregivers who have either been there, done that, who are still there, occasionally some industry people, but probably 95% of my guests are caregivers, just like I was until earlier this year.
You know, Alzheimer's is pretty brutal. I have friends who have had Alzheimer's. I've had, interestingly enough, no family members, though. So I think, you know, that's probably pretty rare, I think. But both on my mom and dad's side, I can't think of a single family member, but not all families are that lucky. So Alzheimer's affects, what is the number? Millions, I'm sure, right?
Like 5.5 million in the United States alone.
Yeah.
And there are over 16 million family caregivers, which I personally feel is probably an undercount, because millennials don't necessarily consider themselves caregivers. If they're helping their parents take care of their grandparents, they're just helping take care of family. Sure. They're not quote unquote caregivers. And if you're helping somebody with daily activities of living, you know, even buying their groceries or taking them to the doctor, you're a caregiver.
Right.
So pretty much all of us are a caregiver at some point in our lives, whether we like it or not. I'm currently a caregiver to a 13-year-old golden retriever who decided to take my birthday to take a complete nosedive on his health. So it's crazy. And I have a 102.5-year-old grandmother.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, caregiving is, I didn't think that it was completely part of my nature, but after doing this and going through the journey with my mom, yeah, I call myself a caregiver to caregivers for that reason.
My grandfather lived to be 99, and he was as ornery at 99 as he was when I could really remember him much younger than that. And my grandmother died at 97. And then on my dad's side, everyone, I guess they were pretty lucky in that sense, because Alzheimer's can be, well, I guess you'll tell us about it. So what was the genesis moment that made you decide to do a podcast about to help caregivers?
Well, I've always been a podcast listener. I actually was kind of an early adopter before Apple had their pod players.
Wow.
You had to listen to them through your web browser,
mm-hmm.
which, because I was a photographer and I was using Photoshop, the poor computer was going, eh. So I kind of fell out of love with that because it wasn't super practical. Got back into it after the iPhones came out. My dad passed away in March of 2017, and my sister and I became the two responsible parties for mom. And me being older, we all know how that works. And my sister has school-aged children. My daughter was out of college at the time, so I took it upon myself to handle a lot of things because I didn't think my sister had time and that kind of thing. So I was listening to a podcast on growing a side hustle, and they did an episode on how to start your own podcast. And I thought, oh, that's really interesting. And this particular show was the exact length I needed to get from my house to the gym back in those days. And so when I got in the gym, I'm doing my workout and I went, well, duh, I need to go home. And because I can't read on my phone without glasses, I need to go home and look for an Alzheimer's caregiver podcast. Well, this was in late 2017. So it was about 4 years ago, 3 years ago. Sorry, I can't do math. And there was essentially one, and she'd been around a long time. She's still around. And I listened to some of it, and it was not my flavor at all. No criticisms, just didn't float my boat.
Sure.
And it was frustrating because that was the only one. There was some people basically venting into the internet, and it was very cathartic to them, but there was no way I wanted to listen to that. And then there were some that were technical and medical, and that didn't help at all. So I thought, well, what the hell? I'll start my own.
You know, that story comes up from time to time. And I think for this show, it's the first time this line of genesis, how you started your show, was basically because, oh, I'm listening to that one. I can do better than that. So I think a lot of shows start because of that exact reason. So it's kind of interesting to me. So obviously starting a podcast, talking about Alzheimer's, you basically were just living this yourself. My mom calls, when my grandparents got old, she called it it's kind of like a sandwich time. When you had, you're now the caregiver, you know, you're taking care of the parents and also you've got your own children. So you're kind of in that sandwich period where you're in the middle. So you were kind of in that situation too, but you had a grown daughter and then a mom. So you're kind of in the middle and you're working both sides of it. So what did you do? Just start sharing your own experiences, or was it an interview show, or how'd you really get it off the ground?
Well, initially I wanted to forewarn people about all of the negative things that my family did because we weren't with it. And the very first episode I recorded, I had my husband listen to it and he went, oh my God, this is really negative. So I re-listened to it and went, yeah, it is really kind of negative. So totally gone. I didn't even save it for posterity or anything.
Wow.
Trash, gone. And so then I started with topics that I thought, you know, for somebody who's family member is newly diagnosed or they're newly diagnosed, these are the kind of things I think people should know. Well, it didn't take very long to realize that there was a lot of things I still needed to know. My mom had Alzheimer's for about 20 years. And I have learned so much from my guests, and I've learned a lot. My mom passed away in March of this year. Thankfully for her and for us, it was right at the beginning of the pandemic. A little bit sudden, many episodes, I make the comment, I'm ready for this journey to be over. And when it was over, it was like, wait a minute, I wasn't really sure I was ready. So it's been an interesting journey. I started recording in person with people that I knew. I did a lot of like brain health episodes on, you know, lifestyle choices. There's a gal in my general area that is living with Alzheimer's. So she was my very first episode. She told her story and she's doing really well. And, you know, when you listen to her story, especially if you're early on in the disease, you can maybe do a lot of what she's doing. And maybe I saw her March of 2018 and then again February of 2019, and she recognized me, and I think she remembered my name, and I'm horrible with names. So I was really super impressed that, you know, one time she sees me, and then almost a year later, she remembers me. So I would have been like, you look familiar. Do I know you?
That's me too.
Yeah. So, and that's just the way I've been my whole life. Not a sign of Alzheimer's for me. And then I ran out of people in my town of 65,000 that had contacts, and I just started going on LinkedIn and social media and asking people to join. And then I found the All's Authors, which is a website of over 200 authors who have written books or blogs on Alzheimer's. So there's some that are journals, like their story. There are some that are actually novel fictions. There are books for kids. If you need something on Alzheimer's, it's there. So they're my go-to. And now people reach out to me all the time. I don't reach out to too many people because I have so many episodes in the pipeline right now that I don't want to record something new and then tell them that their episode will come out sometime in 2021.
I'm kind of interested, though, in one aspect here. For the first part of this, you've done 156 episodes over 2.5 years. And you said you lost your mom just prior to the COVID taking over. Did that change your motivation in doing the show?
No, actually, I had a bunch of episodes recorded, ready to edit and all of that. I went to edit one and I'm like, I can't do this right now. I can't listen to these episodes where I'm telling my story with my mom when she just died 2 weeks ago. So I reached out to my author friends. This was early April. And one of the reasons I reached out to them is I'd had a couple people that were really, really excited to be on the show and then just totally ghosted me. And I thought, whoa, okay, if this is going to be a thing, I better kind of get the pipeline rolling. That way I don't come up on a Tuesday and have to like wing it or something. So because I'm not an author yet, that is one kind of sort of plan. I didn't realize that people who had books right at the beginning of the pandemic, all their book tours got canceled. So I went from virtually nothing on my calendar to they filled up like solid 2 weeks. It's like, well, okay, fine.
Right.
One of the things that I tried to do at the beginning of the pandemic was not talk about the pandemic because unlike a lot of shows, my episodes are evergreen.
True.
Every single month, almost every single episode gets downloaded. So I don't want to talk about something that's super current.
Sure.
For somebody to listen to 3 years from now, it'd be like, oh, well, that's kind of weird.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons why I mentioned the year when I was talking to you. That's a habit that I have is to say, well, today is blah, blah, blah in 2020. That way somebody at least has like a timestamp on to where we're at when we're talking versus when the episode comes out or when they actually hear it. I did eventually do a couple of episodes on how people were getting along, because one of the worst things you can do for seniors, for any of us, but especially older people, and especially older people living with some sort of cognitive impairment, is to isolate them and to upend their schedule. And guess what happened in March?
They did all of that.
We isolated them and we upended their schedule.
There's probably going to be not good history on that when this is all said and done. I think we're going to look back at how we treated the seniors and I'm concerned about it. So
it's definitely accelerated people's progression of the disease because I have past guests who are also social media friends, I guess we can call them. And it's obvious in some of them. And some of them are caregivers and they're saying, you know, oh, my spouse, you know, they're definitely, this is going a lot faster than it has in the past, which closer to the end might not be unusual. I mean, I've only had basically one experience, although my maternal grandmother had vascular dementia and my maternal great grandmother had what they called senile dementia back in the old days. She died before I was born. So I'm not sure what they did other than just kind of refer to it as the old people's disease. But yeah, I agree with you because I tell a lot of the people in my support group, because I still participate in my Alzheimer's caregiver support group, that, you know, my maternal grandfather always said, well, none of us get out of this life alive. And I'm not advocating to just take your loved one out and be reckless, because that's obviously not smart.
Right.
But I feel that in trying to protect them from one disease, we're accelerating the effects of another disease, or we're just prolonging their dying.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a little bit of a, I believe that we should be a little less restrictive on some of the seniors. Like I said, my grandmother is 102. And she is in a board and care home, and they allow visitors. They've allowed visitors since she moved in. And so, you know, they want you to wear masks, and that's fine. Although my grandmother is really hard of hearing. So when I'm just with her, I will take it off so she can actually understand me. And I think that's the appropriate way to handle it, because at 102 and a half, like, she's been there, done that multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not asking for her to go, but I'm also not going to prolong her needing to have somebody else take care of her. And, you know, it's just, I think we really need to assess quality of life.
Well, I agree.
Versus quantity.
And I think, you know, any of us that have experienced an elderly family member to the point where you know that at some point in the near future, they aren't going to be with you anymore. And my grandfather, he basically one day decided, he says, like, all right, you know, this is not for me anymore. I'm done. And he died the same day. And he basically gave up, you know. So he'd basically said before, you know, I'd rather have some quality of life. If I don't have quality of life, what's the use? But that was, you know, everyone has is good for their own opinion, but he kind of willed himself to, and I said, he went out his way. So that was, you laugh now about it, but the time was like, wow, that was interesting. So what do you feel then your audience, what kind of feedback are you getting from your audience? That's something I always look for, is what's the engagement? What's the response? Have you had any of those moments where someone sent you something and said, wow, you changed my life, thank God you were here? Or what does your audience get out of this?
Well, I hope they get out that if you're at home taking care of a parent or your spouse, you don't have a lot of free time. You don't have time to read the 200 plus books from the ALS authors, although I recommend that you try. You don't have time to take classes from the Alzheimer's Association, which I also thoroughly recommend. You know, you barely have time to take care of yourself. That's the biggest problem for caregivers. So one of the reasons I liked the podcast platform is you can put in your earbuds or one and listen to my guests share their wisdom, their experience, me asking a few hopefully interesting questions while you're doing other things. I threatened to do that when I was sitting with my mom. My mom was in a care home, and she would ask the same question literally every 2 minutes. And then after you answered it five different ways, then you just want to bang your head on the wall, which is not good for your brain. Don't do that. But what was very interesting is really early on in the podcast, it may have been sometime in June of 2018, maybe early July, I got my first written review on Apple Podcasts. And I recognized the handle, and I went, I didn't know so-and-so heard me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually a past photography client who was taking care of her parents. And I knew her parents had had some issues because she was also worked in the office my husband worked in at the time. But I never put all of it together. And she sent me the most beautiful note. And I thought, if I help one person like I helped her, and that was early on, and I feel that the quality of the information just keeps getting better because I ask better questions. I don't necessarily get a lot of feedback, but when I do, it's all super positive. So
right.
I must be doing something right.
So, and I think we all want a little more feedback, but I've said this on this program before, so people that are listening have heard it. But when my mom and I did a show after my dad died, he was killed in an automobile accident. So it was the typical situation where my mom couldn't like find the key to the lawnmower, that kind of stuff, you know, those kinds of stories after you're widowed. But our goal was basically, we just help one person. We have succeeded. And I think that we well exceeded that goal. Matter of fact, the show's still online and people every once in a while will get an email and say, hey, I listened. And that was 13 years ago. And people were like, actually 14, death anniversary just a couple of days ago. So we would get that feedback, and it just shows that, you know, that evergreen content that you, like you said, you've put out, some of it's never changing and it's good advice forever. What have you gotten out of your own show?
I've actually learned a lot about how to be a better caregiver. Unfortunately, sort of irrelevant at this point, because both my parents are gone, and three out of the four grandparents are gone. My grandmother, her mind is fine. Like your grandfather, Henri is hell. Oh my gosh. You know, it's like, I have learned, like, she can be very bossy. Like, I need to be taken to the bathroom. I need this. I need that. And I don't think she understands that it's really, really obnoxious. And I don't want to say, I'm here to visit and hear family stories. I'm not here to work. But I'm working on how to say that politely. Like, somebody actually suggested some wording for me, which was nice. So I've learned a lot. Just I couldn't use it on my mom. I should have started the podcast probably in 2010.
You know, we've gotten, every one of us probably has been told by a sibling or a friend, or you've got Alzheimer's. You can't remember that? I mean, I think we've all been hit with that. At least as you get older, there's always someone that's going to drop that on you. And they say it lovingly, but in the back of their mind, you know if they're really thinking it. So there's lots of Alzheimer's screenings now. So what's your take on that?
Well, I like to point out there are 10 warning signs. And to me, one of the biggest ones, and this is probably because it's the one that affected my mom the most, the earliest and the most obvious, is that you're having memory loss that affects your daily life. We had a business together, a photography business. She would take orders from clients, not write down instructions or due dates. And then it would be her day off and the client would come in and be like, oh, hi. oops, sorry. And, you know, once in a while you could say, oh, the phone rang or somebody else came in. Very easy to dismiss as just stuff happens. You know, we all screw up. But it got worse. It happened more often. And then there was one day I had started, if I heard her basically jabberjaw with a client, I would go out and talk to them also so that I could slide the order in front of me and go, oh, so what are we doing for Todd today? And that way I didn't have to call somebody and go, oh, my mom forgot to write down the directions. Because that's just embarrassing.
So you were compensating just to make sure everything got covered because you knew she was missing stuff.
Yeah. So one day I always got to work first, which was super annoying. I was 20 miles away. She was less than a mile. So was my dad. And I found an order that had zero directions. I mean, it was like, what the hell, mother? Am I supposed to just glean this out of the ether here? Mm-hmm. And so when she came in, I said, hey, you know, what are we doing for Mr. Cochran over here? And she looked at it. She goes, I don't know. That's not my handwriting. And I looked at it and I went,
oh.
And she said, yeah, it's, and she named the employee. They didn't have similar handwriting at all. You could maybe confuse mine and hers, not mine and the employees or mom and the employees. And I looked at it and I said, you know, mom, I'm really starting to get concerned. You know, you used to have some daffy moments, you know, a couple times a week. You're starting to have them a couple times a day. She looked at me and she goes, well, I don't want to end up like my mother. And she turned on her heel and stomped off to a different part of the store. And I went, well, murder is illegal. So what other option do I have? You know, I'm thinking, what the hell, you know? And I really wish I had known about the Alzheimer's Association, because I would hope that I would have been smart enough to join a support group then, even though my dad was taking care of her and he was resistant to any help from my sister and I.
Yep.
It just would have helped me with the stress of trying to figure out how to help when help wasn't wanted. So what ended up happening is after my dad died, the hospice, you know, they have their support groups. I went and it was like, well, this is great. You know, it kind of helping me get over, you know, losing my dad. But I got this whole giant issue with my mother over here. Mm-hmm. So I went home and I Googled support groups for Alzheimer's caregivers, and that's when I found the Alzheimer's support group. I went November 2017, started thinking about producing a podcast the following month. So
so it sounds to me then that it, number one, obviously it helped you through the time and being part of the support group, hearing other people's stories. It was almost like a little bit of therapy for you, I would assume. Would that be? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's just a real, you know, I think podcasts actually, believe it or not, are probably just, again, I'm not a mental health person, so someone's going to take this the wrong way. I think podcasts are almost as good as talking to psychiatrists sometimes. I know I'm going to get pushback on that. I am not a doctor.
Well, it's just my opinion. To a point.
Yeah.
If you're a little bit shy, a little bit introverted, which I used to be, obviously not now, and you don't, or you're, you want to be respectful and not divulge what's going on with your parent. You know, you want to keep their dignity and their privacy. You might not want to go and say, my mom forgot how to use the toilet today. You know, that's really not a topic people want to talk about.
Right.
And what I try really, really hard, and because the only way to get through caregiving is to find humor. There is a lot of laughs in my episodes. It is, they are not bummers. I've had people say, I really should probably listen, but I'm afraid. I'm like, don't be afraid. Trust me.
Right.
I always came away from talking to my guests feeling uplifted entertained, informed, and you can probably tell some of the episodes when I was having some real frustrations with my mother, because we talk about her a little more. So, you know, I agree that it's almost like test driving therapy. If you know, it's like test driving a support group. Like, well, what? I don't know. I want to go sit in a circle and talk about my mom or my husband or whatever. So I agree. I think there's a lot of benefits. You got voices in your ear that are going through the same thing you're going through. And it reaffirms that you're not insane, or, you know, there's days when you just want to dash out the door and say the hell with it and leave the people alone. And there's, you know, it's just all the emotions that you go through as a caregiver. I feel that my podcast, and now thanks to the pandemic, there's more of us. It just reaffirms how what you're going through is not abnormal.
Right. Do you have people that have Alzheimer's or been diagnosed with Alzheimer's listen to your show too?
That I don't know for sure. I personally think it would not be a bad thing. I do have a YouTube channel. I mean, I personally wouldn't want to watch two people talk like what we're doing because, you know, it's not terribly entertaining.
Right.
But I would think that, you know, if you needed an hour, 45 minutes, you might be able to put your loved one in front of the TV with these two people talking, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it'll help them. I don't know. I have wild ideas for some streaming options that would maybe help people that are living with the disease, but that's for maybe 2022.
Well, it's one thing to, because, you know, it, Alzheimer's comes in multiple stages. So, and like you said, you think your mom lived with it for 20 years progressing. So, like you said, I've seen all the stuff on the market about making brain teasers and doing things to help you stay more cognitive sharp. What's your gut on that type of stuff?
Actually, the most important thing you can do is stay physically active. I'm going to give you the basics. Eat right, exercise, get plenty of sleep. Okay, you guys have all heard that. The one thing a lot of people have not heard, and I think it's this week's show, yes, this week is the week before Thanksgiving, is on keeping your brain smart. And one of the things that you can do and should do is always be learning. If you're learning things that are new and not easy things, like I was a photographer for 30 years, I swear to God, I could do it in my sleep. It didn't bring a lot of excitement or a lot of challenge. It was literally like checking off boxes. Boom, 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 boom. Lighting's right. Pose is right. Boop, boop, click, click, click. Super easy. When I started podcasting, I had to learn a whole slew of things. And so if you are trying to learn something, you scrunch up your face like, you got to really think about it. That's called dynamic learning. And that keeps your brain healthy and sharp. Because you can always grow more neurons, which is what Alzheimer's affects. So the more you grow, you know, and we start losing them as we age, just like everything else. So we have to kind of counterbalance it. You know, if you decide I'm retiring and I'm just going to fish or whatever, I can't imagine fishing. That would bore me to tears, but whatever. I know people like it. That's maybe not necessarily the best thing for your brain.
Well, when I retired from the Navy, 90 days later, I was like, I need something more to do. I really wasn't retired. I was working this business and doing some other things. But yeah, I understand completely. So, wow, very interesting conversation. Jennifer, where can they find your show? Is it fadingmemories.com or what's the website?
It's fadingmemoriespodcast.com. Quick little funny story. I obviously wanted a title that spoke to the topic, but didn't have necessarily Alzheimer's in the name because that just seemed too obvious. So I forgot how I came upon Fading Memories. Originally, I was thinking of As the Memories Fade. I was not a soap opera watcher. That was way too long for the little box they give you. Yeah. So it shortened to Fading Memories. I went to the domain purchasing site and went, I must be hungry because that does not say what I think it says. I went and had lunch and I came back and I said, holy crap, it really does say almost $36,000 for that domain. Holy crap.
Yeah, for Fading Memories, right?
Yeah, well, what it is a
squatter.
Book, a movie, and a band, which I have never, ever seen anywhere else. So I went through the whole, do I use fadingmemories.help or whatever all the other strange extensions are. This was almost 3 years ago. So it was like, if it's not .com, most people don't figure it out. So Fading Memories podcast, my photography website name was really long too. So I'm like, what the hell?
And most people are just going to Google it anyway. They're not going to type in the domain name. They're going to look for Fading Memories podcast and you will have come right to the top of the search results anyway. So
yes, I will. But you got to put the podcast in there. And it's on all the podcast players, sure, thanks to Blueberry and all that stuff. Awesome. So
2.5 years. You're going to have a 3-year anniversary next year in, you said, in May? Is that?
May 1st, 2021 will be the beginning of my 4th year podcasting. Choke.
So for those of you listening, you may not be exactly the candidate for this show, but I almost guarantee that you know somebody that will be. So help Jennifer get the word out about Fading Memories podcast. And if you've got a family member that is in either early stages or, you know, this sounds like the show that you're going to invest. You got 156 episodes to go through.
Yeah.
Lots of content there. So lots of education while you're, if you are the caretaker already, you can get up to speed quick and shake your head yes a lot, I'm sure, as you're going through the show. So Jennifer, thanks for coming on Podcast Insider. Again, fadingmemoriespodcast.com. Give it a subscribe. Check it out. Thanks for your time today. Thank you. All right. I want to thank Jennifer for taking the time to do the interview. I hope you'll check out Fading Memories. Maybe you are a caregiver for someone that has Alzheimer's, or maybe you're facing that. And I think this is a great show, great resource. And she's quite frank. I like how some podcasters just come across like, this is the way it is. And I think Jennifer is one of those podcasters. So definitely check it out. So Mike, what's your question of the week?
It's a little complicated, but I'll try not to get too geeky here. And a question says, when I create an episode within Blueberry, I format the show notes with links and formatting. And when the episode shows up on Apple Podcasts, it displays an unformatted version followed by a formatted version. Does anyone know what's happening and how to fix it? I got this one off of our Facebook group.
Sure.
So the answer, that there's two different things going on, but basically Apple and all the rest of the podcast world, there's three different tags for show notes in the RSS feed. And we won't get too deep into it, but the main one's content encoded, and that's the one that's going to be formatted. Then there's another one called description. That's what everybody else uses. It's unformatted. And then iTunes has its own, or Apple has its own, called iTunes Summary, that isn't really used that much anymore. But specifically in our Blueberry Publisher, you put the formatted show notes in the main content box. And you can, you know, format it right there within the editor and, you know, have links and all that stuff. And then you can put the short description in the RSS description box, which is something we added just recently. But you click the advanced Apple settings at the bottom and that box will show up. And you put, you know, what the little blurb is. Because the way Apple does it, if you're subscribed to a show and you're looking at an individual episode, you're going to see whatever's in the description tag on top, it's going to be a short, unformatted version of the show notes. And then below, you'll right. see the formatted version of the show notes. If you only have the one tag, then it's going to put an unformatted version and then repeat that again with a formatted version, and it looks kind of silly. So you got to do a little extra work to make Apple's display look a little better. And then I have a whole instruction sheet here, a bunch of instructions I'll put in the show notes for PowerPress users. But it's not super complicated, and basically you just have a short description and then your full show notes all in the same post.
They should just take what's in the description field and be done with it. They make it way too complicated to make it look pretty.
And by the way, this is only if you're subscribed to the show and you're looking at an individual episode. If you're just browsing through Apple's directory, it just shows the description.
Right.
You know, if you're not subscribed but playing an episode, same thing. So it's only one use case where this shows up, but it really looks silly. So
here's my suggestion. You tell your audience to come to your .com to look at your blog post.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, to look at your podcast episode on your website where you got all the rich media, you've got graphics, you've got formatting the way you want it to look, instead of looking at the app. So I train my audience. Sure, they listen on the multitude of apps, but I always tell them, come back, and I send them a newsletter with the show notes. I have rich show notes on the webpage. We do too here at Blueberry. So just tell them, come back to the website for the show notes with all the links.
Believe it or not, most people, they see that you got an episode, they hit play, they stick their phone back in their pocket. So they're not going to read anything in the app anyway. It's mostly the podcasters that are just being ultra I wouldn't say picky in a way, but you know, they're concerned that it looks silly.
Right, right.
And you know, that makes sense. And also keep in mind, all the different apps treat the show notes differently. So, you know, some of them, no matter what you do, it's not going to come off formatted or with links in it. There's nothing you can do about it.
And no matter what you do, they all don't follow Apple standard. And Apple definitely kind of came up with their own thing and how they display it. It is really kind of annoying. I wish they'd all.
Yeah. It's too complicated, but I wanted to bring it up just because that is a concern that people do have. And like I said, it's mostly the podcaster and they're going through all the apps looking to see how their show looks, which, hey, that's good. But don't worry that the vast majority of your audience, especially if you tell them, come back to the site. You know, they're not going to see that.
Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to the end here. So if you have questions or feedback, click on the Leave a Voicemail tab on podcastinsider.com. You can record your question and we may answer it on the show. If you want a 30-day free trial of Blueberry Podcasting, just use Insider as the promo code when you check out. That way you can get a 30-day free trial. Also, if you're a podcaster and you're not an affiliate already, you're missing out on making money. You can have your own promo code and sign up for an affiliate program within the podcaster dashboard and start making cash. We're almost, Mike, at the end of the year where our affiliates will end up getting their annual bonus. So you think an annual bonus? Yes, we have some podcasters that get as much as five-figure annual bonuses. So,
oh yeah,
'tis the season. So just be aware of that. You know, if you're an affiliate, those bonus checks will be coming sometime in early December. So we look forward to getting those out. But if you're not an affiliate yet, consider becoming one over at blueberry.com within the podcaster dashboard. You do not have to be a podcaster to be an affiliate either. So
no, just sign up for a free account at Blueberry and then you can go into the make money section.
That's right. So anyway, if you got any feedback on today's show, I'm Todd at blueberry.com.
And I'm Mike at blueberry.com. And also, I want to say we got a new editor over in the Blueberry Pro team, Gabe. So he's doing a great job for us. Kate decided she wanted to give Gabe this show. So
the reins.
So he's been doing great. And we really like the pro team over at Blueberry Pro by PNS.
That's right. Adriana, I know you asked in the live chat which mic I'm using. I'm using a Shure SM7B is the mic that I'm using. Mike, what are you using?
I'm using a...
Is that a Rode NT4?
No, it's not a Rode. Jeez, I should...
A Heil?
No, not a Heil. I'm drawing a blank here.
Oh, okay. It is a Rode something.
No, it's what you'd find if you walked into any radio station in the country. Put me on the spot here.
Yeah, I did. Anyway, thanks everyone for being here. Thanks for being a customer if you are. And if you're not, you want to start a podcast, again, use that promo code Insider for 30 days free. Again, we want to thank you for being here and we'll see you next week. Everyone have a good Thanksgiving. Don't eat too much for those of you in the United States. Everyone else, stay safe. We'll be back with you next week for another edition of the Podcast Insider. Everyone take care.
Catch you later.
Bye-bye.